Hi, this is Teresa Huska of MSA Worldwide, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans coming from Deb Evans Consulting and the Social Geek Radio studio in Texas.
And Jack Munson of Minolto Inc. at Minolto headquarters in beautiful Reston, Virginia today. How you doing, Deb?
Oh, it's all beautiful because, you know, there's a snowstorm coming at the end of the week and everything's going to be a little chaos, but not for me here in Texas. So it's all good.
All right. Well,
okay.
There you go.
It's well, all good. Incredible weather makes me very happy.
Right. If you're traveling this week, good luck, first of all.
Good luck.
If you're on the eastern half of the country, good luck with that and be safe. And if you're going to any conferences or conventions or other types of gatherings for various organizations, this is the show for you because we've got a whole bunch of brand new tips for attending conferences, things to do before the conference, what to do when you're at the conference, things to do as follow-up afterwards. And to get things going, we've got a Geek It Out segment that is right up the social media conference alley. What do you have for us tonight, Deb?
It is. So Twitter has been that unfraught, forgotten social platform that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight on our tips for social media and conference attendance. So let's think about Twitter. And anyone that's listening that's actually started Twitter, or maybe you want to go back and you want to manage it a little bit better, the app or the link that I have for everybody is called Manage Flitter. So it's the word manage, M-A-N-A-G-E, F-L-I-T-T-E-R.com. So with every one of these apps, you know, there's the free version and there's the paid version. So let's just go with the free version right now. When you use your Manage Flitter and you connect your Twitter account, it lets you see your account, you know, how many of you are following, who's following you, who you're following, whatnot. But what I think I like about it is, okay, I'm at the point, and Jack, I mentioned this to you last week, I'm at the point I need to increase my following, and I need to increase who I'm following. You know, I've been at a certain number for so long, and I'm ready to hit and go to that next level. So with the Manage Flitter, I'm going to go to the account, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm ready to manage that. And I'm going to put in some keywords, and I'm going to start searching and be a little bit more strategic about who I want to follow and who I want to follow me. So when I put the keyword, let's just say franchising in there, it gives you, as if you did it on Twitter, it would give you a list of different profiles. Let's say the Melting Pot franchise. Mm-hmm. What I like about this is when I hover over the Melting Pot, it gives me a complete list. But if I see somebody, I'm intrigued by this. What it does right here on Manage Flitter, it gives me the bio, the location, the language, the tweets per day. How many times they tweet per day? The account, when was the account created? How many total tweets they've had? How many are they following? How many followers do they have? And what's their follower-following ratio, and how many times they've been listed. So what this does versus just doing a Twitter search, it gives me all that information right there that I don't have to go and look at their account. It's all within this dashboard, and I can click follow or I can click unfollow.
That's so very cool. What I really like about that, too, is the number of tweets per day because I think you can be a bit fooled by looking at Twitter and seeing, oh, somebody has 1,000 tweets or 5,000 tweets or something like that. But that mm-hmm. could be from 5 years ago, and they're not really that active anymore. So that's a very cool feature.
Yeah, and when I did my search, when I did my search for within that term, I could click that I wanted active users. So they do have to be active and have to have, and I'm not sure really what the criteria is. Maybe they have to tweet at least once a week, but they have to be fairly active. They have to have a complete profile. They have to have a picture in their profile because, you know, we don't follow eggheads. So it narrows that search down even more for you prior to, you know, just when you click search. So I really I think I'm going to enjoy this this platform. And should I, you know, really get a lot of use out of it, then I might go with the pro version. So we'll have to check back later. But it'll schedule tweets. You know, we all love to have something that allows us to schedule the tweets out. And when you go to schedule it, it gives you, based on your tweets and the content within your tweet, it tells you when's the best time to schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of a scheduler yet that really tells me, hey, you know, you should really tweet this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at, you know, four.
Yeah, so, I like the idea of that feature. I like the idea of that for replacing Hootsuite, first of all. I think you can do it right there from your phone. And you know, anybody who's still using Hootsuite, I think you might want to check this out instead. But also for conferences, as we were talking about, you could be at a conference, you meet two or three new people right away, and you can maybe check out what they're doing on Twitter and how active they are, and you know, follow a whole bunch of people at the same time, not have to wait till you get home, log into Twitter, and you know, do it sort of the old-fashioned way. So great find for this week.
Yeah, like that one. So let's move into, you know, we're going to talk about what to do socially and certainly in person when you go to a conference. And you and I have some great franchising conferences coming up, but there's all kinds of conferences and expos that people attend. So I think our tips will be very valuable to them no matter what type of conference they're attending. But, you know, the first thing I say is, you know, if there's a registration list, there's a registration for an upcoming event, so I'm going to go to a community networking event tomorrow. And there is a registration list because they use Evite, and I can see who's going. I always poke around the list and say, okay, who am I going to meet? Do they have a Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn account? You know, how can I connect with them there when and after? And is there an event hashtag for the event so that if I'm promoting it, or promoting the speakers that might be there, you know, I'm going to be sure that I catch the attention of others that are going.
Very good. And I think along with getting that registration list, which is so valuable, and seeing who's going to be there, a tip I would recommend is make some appointments before you go. So I think sometimes we go to a conference and we think, oh, we're going to be a lot of people from the industry here. But if you can schedule some time to maybe have lunch or get coffee or have dinner or something with one of the other attendees that you find on that list, I think now you've got sort of a stake in the ground. You've got a definite date and time where you're going to sit down with this person and have a conversation. Because what happens, and I've seen this happen many, many times, people will get to a conference and lots of other people have already made appointments, or they've already made dinner plans, or they've already made lunch plans. And if you're not maybe already part of a big circle of that community, or it's the first time you've attended a conference in that particular industry, you may be a little out of luck if a lot of other people have already scheduled dinners and lunches and things. So if you can get that list and make some lunch dates ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, think about the speakers that are presenting. A lot of times we as attendees think that the presenters are not approachable, and that's far from the case. And even your, you know, keynote speakers, they're people. like to connect with their people, their audience. They want to be recognized. So, you know, one of the things I did last year is, and I follow the speakers, Jeffrey Hazlett. Spoke at IFA. I've read his books. I follow him. I've actually met him in person. It was years ago. But prior to his presentation, which I really wanted to go to, I tweeted about, you know, can't wait to see what Jeff has to share. And I certainly tagged him in my tweets. Well, he manage his own Twitter account. And even if he didn't, somebody else was managing it, would be managing it for him. And that's top of mind. You know, they saw that CE. Look, you know, she wants to meet. So one, I engaged prior to his presentation, and then I was ready after he gave his presentation. I was willing to go up and, you know, very excited to go up and shake his hand, say hello. He remembered, you know, he knew who I was. He had read my bio. And, you know, it makes that engagement better and more personable. And then the other thing I'd add to attendees is don't hesitate then to go to their own, you know, these presenters' LinkedIn pages and make a recommendation, you know, endorse them. Tell them you enjoyed their presentation. Again, you know, if this was something you really enjoyed, you want to connect with that person. And you and I know that I did that with Guy Kawasaki years ago as a presenter, and he was a guest on Social Geek Radio. You know, you make it personable no matter who they are, and, you know, recognize them and their talents, and then, you know, give them an endorsement and a recommendation. So it goes a really long way.
Yeah, and you also found out.
Don't bluff it.
Yeah. But you also found out that a couple of guys who are very big in marketing and communications, meaning Jeffrey and Guy,
mm-hmm.
Guess what? They practice what they preach. They actually did engage with someone who was talking about them, you know, being at a conference and promoting their presence and so forth. They actually did engage, which was good to see, right? So let's talk a little bit about some tips that you could do during the conference. So before the conference, you're set with making some appointments and getting the list of people and engaging with some of the speakers ahead of time. Tell us about a few things that work during the conference.
Well, what's always worked well for me, because I am a multitasker, so, you know, if an attendee can handle this, it's like, you know, you're there to learn, and I don't want to take away from you paying attention to a session and gather as much information as you can, but I'm a note taker. Mm-hmm. And the way I like to take notes is through tweets. Mm. You know, 140 characters, I can take that note and understand, you know, what it is I've captured. I used to be one that did shorthand. I mean, way back in the day, I did shorthand. Well, this is why I love Twitter. It's like, okay, it's my shorthand, it's tweets. If you live tweet what you're learning, you get two benefits of two things. One, you're taking the notes for yourself, but you're also sharing it with others that can't be there and they're sitting in another session. What you can do with your live tweets afterwards, and this is going to be jump ahead just a little bit, you know, what you do afterwards. You know, there's a service called Storify, kind of like another geek out, Storify. So what I do with my tweets or any conference or convention tweets, if they have the hashtag, is I go into Storify and I do a search for, let's say, IFA 2016, and everybody's tweets, everybody's Facebook posts, everybody's Instagram posts, Periscope, whatever it is, whatever's tagged with that hashtag of the event, comes into one big story.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's my story. You know, then I've got everybody's notes, and I label it, and then I share it. So, you know, when you're at the conference and you're engaging in person, you know, use a little social media to engage and capture what you're learning in order to share it.
Yeah, and you know what else I really like about that is you're helping yourself by taking notes, which you would be doing mm-hmm. anyway. But as you said, you're also sharing that with people who maybe couldn't make it to that particular conference that year. But I think there's a third aspect to that, too, that I really like is you're also helping the speakers and the panelists and the presenters,
oh,
because while they're speaking to the crowd, they can't exactly post their ideas or tweet their ideas or do anything live. So you're actually helping them as well and sort of promoting them. And especially if you're using their handle on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
That's a really cool thing that you can do to promote the speaker, promote the topic and promote the conference. So yeah,
right.
for everybody who's going to conferences coming up, don't be shy about pulling out your phone or your iPad and tweeting during the middle of a in the middle of a presentation. I think most presenters and most panelists get now that people aren't just checking their email or playing Clash of Clans, right? I think we're all pretty used to now people are tweeting and posting stuff. So that's great. Yeah. And along with that too, you're also doing a lot of posting of photos onto Instagram, mm-hmm. right?
Instagram. Yeah, I love Instagram to be able to capture those speakers and post them and again tag them, use the hashtag of the event and share that information. And then, you know, my newest and greatest love is, you know, Periscope. When I went to the Periscope Summit in New York City or any city I go to, I like to do things. I like to not only capture some of the presentation, and as long as there's not been an announcement saying, oh, this is a closed presentation, you can't share it. And if you've got some good Wi-Fi, then you can share portions of those keynotes. And you know, I have a portion of Kim Garsh. You know, we all love Kim Garsh. She's a great social media expert, guru, whatever you want to call her. And I captured some of that and Periscoped that because I knew not everybody could be there. But I also like to use Periscope and video and photos of the host city. Mm. How often do we go to cities for conferences and events and we don't take the time to step outside and enjoy where we are? We all go to Vegas over and over and over again.
Yeah. You see the inside of a conference center or hotel and maybe a few restaurants, but you don't see, you know, any of the stuff happening.
The city. Yeah. So that comes back to the, you know, planning ahead that you were talking about before. You know, you need to think ahead when you're going to these cities and say, even if I've been to San Antonio several times, there's still something I don't know about that city.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go explore it. And if I don't know it, same, you know, the same thing you say about if you got a question to ask, if you don't know it, there's somebody else that could, you know, learn from the answer as well. Same thing with video and photos, you know, sharing them. So I will make a point of exploring a little bit about that city, opening up Periscope, sharing it with Periscope users, or posting some pictures on Instagram so that the next time that viewer is in San Antonio, they say, you know what? I may not remember where I saw this or whose scope I saw it on or what Instagram account, but I want to go see that. I want to see, you know, that portion of the Riverwalk or, you know, that piece of history.
Right.
So I'd say, and again, if you're using the event hashtag, it's building and promoting that event as well as the city or yourself or the presenter. So, you know, venture out of your comfort zone, get out there and explore a little bit. Because these host cities have a lot to share with us.
Absolutely.
Really interesting.
There's a reason the conference chose that city. I mean, maybe it was because the convention center was cheaper or something like that. But, mm-hmm. but you know, there's always a reason why some of the great cities in this country and throughout the world have become sort of meccas for these conferences, you know, whether it's, it's, you know, it's not just Vegas and it's not just Orlando. You know, there's a lot of cool cities that you could attend and maybe see some stuff that you don't see every day. Along with that, a couple of other sort of non-social media conference tips. You mentioned getting outside of your comfort zone. And I think of within any industry, you have that comfort zone too of people you know, right? And it's very easy to get into a rut where you go to the same conference year in, year out, or a group of conferences in the same industry, and you go there and you hang out with the same guys that you hang out with every year, and you have lunch with the same people you have lunch with every year. And I think it's something that we should all try to do, and I know I'm definitely going to do it this year, is try to break out of that a little bit and meet some new people. Nothing wrong with seeing your old friends, but there's so many people that go to every conference out there for the first time and they don't know anybody. So make an attempt to reach out to some new people, people you haven't met before, and, you know, invite them to sit in on a session with you or have a conversation, and don't just make it, you know, the old cronies club, right?
Agreed. And you know what, and to take that to the next level, you know, those of us that are frequent attendees of a conference or a convention, we don't know everybody, but we know almost everybody, then I'd say step out and then find that new person and make the introduction.
Yeah.
So I know several new folks that are attending IFA convention for the first time. I've made some introductions already saying, you know, Ann and Chelsea of Safeway Driving, you need to meet so-and-so. You know, I introduced them to the ladies of Mode. And then, you know, follow up with that. Make sure that they meet people in person because, you know, it's, you can't have too many friends when you attend a convention of that size.
Absolutely.
And the more they get to know that, the better off they are. It just, you know,
right.
Makes it so much easier for everyone.
Right. Another tip I was going to share, and I guess this is, I guess it's a tip, but it's also kind of an observation. I see a lot of people who go to a conference and they've maybe waited all year to go to the conference and they've tried to budget it and they maybe had to have a budget approved and they get all prepared and then they go to the conference and they leave a day early, right? Or they kind of, you know, they sort of short themselves. And I see it all the time with like the IFA convention you mentioned, the last day of the conference, about half of the people are already gone and I just don't get it. I really think if you're going to invest in going to a conference or a convention and you're investing the time and you're investing the money, stay for the entire thing, especially as the crowds start to sort of, you know, narrow down. That might be the time where you can have more conversations with some of the other people. So
right.
I would say, you know, even if you're spending an extra $150 to stay over, you know, for one more night for the whole conference, even if that's coming out of your own pocket, you're already invested in going there. You're already putting the time and money in. Stay throughout the entire thing. Get the full benefit of the conference. And along the same lines, if the conference starts at whatever time in the morning on day one, don't try to fly in that same morning. I've seen so many people who try to fly into, you know, the most important industry event of their year, and they try to save a little money and fly in the day of. And what happens? You know, you get hit by weather or air traffic or whatever, then you end up missing an entire day of what could be an important conference for your industry. So spend the extra buck, go in the night before, get a good night's sleep so you can hit the ground running at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever time the conference starts, and then stay throughout the entire thing and really get your money's worth.
Yeah, agreed, totally. Too many times you see people, they miss it for, like you said, weather, but a lot of times no one can predict what that host city is planned. So remember the year at Mardi Gras Pine in New Orleans, and then there was this offshoot parade going on, and people, they got into the city, but they couldn't get to the convention center.
Seriously, folks, it's business travel. There's always going to be some kind of a problem. Don't make it worse by shortchanging yourself and trying to do too much in too little time. My last tip for on the ground during the event conference tips is don't shortchange yourself by skipping the exhibit hall. Check out sponsors and exhibitors and the people who are, you know, really bringing the conference to you. Check out what they have to show, what they have to present. You know, you're not going to get hit by every sales pitch on earth. Don't worry about that. Go talk to people. Sometimes the vendors and suppliers of some of these things know more about the industry than anybody else. So there's a lot of learning to be had there, and you might see some cool stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And even as a supplier, you know, and I always feel bad for the suppliers that are actually, they have a trade show booth because they don't get enough time. They're so busy, enough time to visit the other suppliers. But I'd say, you know, try to step out of your booth and go around and meet, because there's a lot of competitors, yes, that are there, but there's so much to learn from the other suppliers. So I always make a point of trying to visit every single booth. And, of course, I review the schedule beforehand, so I know the first 10 I have to go see. And then I just do it in layers. Okay, now I need to go see this. And I jump around from aisle to aisle, and then I love the trade shows. There's just so much to learn.
And you were talking about earlier sharing photos on Instagram and maybe doing some Periscope videos. What a better place than at the trade show? If you see somebody doing something cool, or they've got a great display, or they've got a really cool new product or service in your industry, hey, why not help them out a little bit too and share that on one of the social channels as well?
You will be
sharing some cool information to your followers, but you're also, you know, promoting a cool service for those guys as well. Deb, in the few minutes we have left, we talked about after the conference taking some of this content and putting it up on Storyfy. What other after the conference tips do you have?
So LinkedIn slide share, and you and I have talked about this in previous podcasts, but LinkedIn slide share has a lot of features and capabilities I think people forget about. If you are a presenter, you certainly want to take your presentation and convert it and put it into a slide share. Definitely, you know, worth sharing. But you can also take any of those photos, any of those videos, do a LinkedIn slide share like a recap. This is what I learned at the convention I attended. And recap it into LinkedIn. You know, we don't want to forget LinkedIn. That is our top professional social platform. And it's searchable. So you put it on SlideShare. SlideShare is searchable. Make sure that, you know, it goes into your LinkedIn profile or your LinkedIn company page. And then going back to Twitter, if you have you connected with these folks on Twitter and you say, oh, you know, these are the folks that I met at this convention, make a list. Make a Twitter list. I love my Twitter list. I have several lists of franchise industry, education industry, friends of friends, you know, whatever those lists, I can't get like 20 lists, but I bucket everybody into anyone that I connected to on Twitter. I make sure that I put them in a list. And then that Twitter list, you can go back after the conference and reconnect with those. Oh, let me see what Jack's doing now since, you know, 3 weeks after conference. And then reconnect and engage with that. So that way, if they're in a list, you haven't forgotten them. You just put them in a list.
Right.
And then you can go back and revisit that list. So,
perfect.
And then, again, use Storyfy. So, yeah, don't let conference just end the last day of conference.
Yeah.
Stretch it out and keep the engagement going.
Yeah, I like what you said on your blog post about this. Continue the engagement after the conference. So, so perfect. If anybody wants to see a recap of some of the tips that we discussed today, go to Deb's blog. It's debevansconsulting.com, debevansconsulting.com, all one word. And all of these tips are there on the blog right now. Check it out, bookmark it, save it, and I think you'll really enjoy conferences and conventions and get a lot more out of them, frankly. So,
absolutely.
All right. Very good, Deb. Thanks so much for all of the tips, and we'll see you at an upcoming conference very soon.
Very good. Have a good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.